Good morning, brethren and friends. I would ask you to go ahead and open your Bibles and turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And there we're going to begin reading in verse 23. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. They're beginning in verse 23. What we're talking about here is matters concerning the conscience, obviously, if you know this context well. But we need to look at the instructions given here in 1 Corinthians 10. So we might better be able to prepare to deal with this certain situation, should it present itself in different ways. Starting there in verse 23 with me, if you will. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. Eat whatever is sold in the meat market, asking no questions for conscience' sake. For the earth is the Lord in all its fulfillment, or all its fullness, rather. Many of those who do not believe invite you to dinner, and you desire to go, eat whatever is set before you, asking no question for conscience' sake. But if anyone says to you, this was offered to idols, do not eat it for the sake of the one who told you, and for conscience' sake. For the earth is the Lord's in all its fullness. Conscience, I say, not your own, but that of the other. For why is my liberty judged by another man's conscience? But if I partake with thanks, why am I evil spoken of for the food over which I give thanks? Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense either to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the church of God. Just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. And so what we're going to do with this text, brethren, is piece it. Go verse by verse and take it by its context. First of all, starting there with all things are lawful in verse 23, but not all things are edifying or perhaps helpful for my salvation, the salvation of another person. Not all things are helpful. And some of your versions will say expedient there in 1 Corinthians 10, 23 in the first part of that verse. Which simply means expedient, something that is suitable or appropriate. This context seems to refer to meat offered to idols. Perhaps sold in the meat shops as sacrifices of blood and meat to idols was indeed a major problem in the world at this time. Since an idol is nothing, however, the idea here, the point is, the lesson is that one might eat the meat and it wouldn't be sinful to do so, but it might not be appropriate to that one's conscience or edifying to that one's conscience or to another's. If they know it is meat that was offered to idols, it might even tempt or cause them grief in their heart that they could have avoided by not eating that meat at all. Paul's real purpose here is he's trying to save his Corinthian brethren's souls. Now, Corinth was obviously a place of trade. It had a great economy. It was one of the great cities of even Greece. And so Corinth had all these different things flowing through it. That meat, it's not pagan meat, it's God's meat. But it was meat that was being perverted and that it was being sacrificed to idols. People who didn't always know the history, however, the items that they were buying. I'll ask you a question. Do you always know the history of the items that you buy in stores? Do you know if they're stolen or not? Do you know different things like that? Are you going to go up to every clerk that you go to or every person at a register and you're going to ask them, is this item stolen or not? Well, we don't seem to do that, do we? Because we just trust and we just understand that this is an item that is lawfully able to be bought by me of the United States government. And so, questions that we're going to get into as far as maybe not even asking those questions just for your own conscience sake, because to you, that meat is good to eat. That meat is God's. Somebody else perverted that for themselves, but that meat to you is clean to your conscience. It's okay to eat. It's not going to cause any problem. Not any questions. And so he's trying to save his brethren's souls, Paul is. It's not about physicalities or ritualism. He's trying to make sure that they stay safe spiritually, even in their own minds. That second thing there, not all things are edifying in verse 23, 1 Corinthians 10. This phrase suggests that just because something such as this is okay within itself, doctrinally, to do, does not mean situationally in the moment that it will be that will build you or perhaps others up in the faith. It may not be a proper time, mentally or emotionally, or for some things, maybe to deal with such things as that. Maybe somebody who saw you eating that meat sacrificed to idols. It may not be a proper time emotionally, mentally, spiritually for those people to deal with that type of question, or that type of maybe even confusion that would cause if it was a younger Christian even perhaps. For example, the Christian family in the first century, if you think about it, as they were in persecution by the Romans, well, they may have waited for the Roman guards to circle around, go far past their house before even they started singing. Started singing out loud, as Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19 instructs to sing. And so, to make sure they weren't persecuted, obviously. Was it wrong for them to wait to do that? Was it wrong for them to wait maybe for those Roman guards to pass by their house so they weren't persecuted? Certainly not. It's not wrong to wait for a few moments, even if it's on Sunday. It's sensible. Keeps everyone, younger and older Christians, from being persecuted, even killed. Maybe persecuted when they can't handle being persecuted. And it's not disorderly against verses, such as 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 40, where it says, "Let all things be done decently in order," in the context of dealing with worship. This is expediency, doing something whenever it is most appropriate or suitable to do so in an orderly manner. There's nothing wrong with them doing that if that was the case that they had to do that. There's nothing wrong with us having services here on Sunday in the morning, rather than at 4 p.m., 9 p.m., whatever you want to think of. What if we had it 1 hour earlier? There's nothing wrong with any of those things. It's expediency, whenever it's suitable or appropriate to do so, and the elders usually deem whenever that is. There's nothing wrong with them doing that either. And it's certainly fitting that they do that as the shepherds of the flock. Another example is it's expedience that we... That's another, the other example here that we meet in the morning on Sunday, according to most elderships of the church today. Nothing's wrong with it. It's still on the first day of the week, Acts 20 and verse 7. It's just choosing when it's the right place or time to worship God on the day of the Lord. What's the day of the Lord? Sunday. The day in which Jesus Christ rose from the dead, as the Holy Spirit never specified that specific hour of the day doctrinally. He never specified an exact time on Sunday in which we should worship. It seems that on Sunday, they just kept on worshiping through the hours, whenever they did. And so it doesn't really seem that there's a specific time and it's that strict. It really does seem that there's liberty in that and that we can choose upon what hour of the day Sunday, to our understanding that it's Sunday on this side of the world, obviously different time zones, but on our side of the world and to our understanding, to our conscience on Sunday, we should be worshiping on that day at some time, according to the five acts of worship. Now the next thing we want to talk about here is in Genesis chapter 9, if you turn there with me. Start there in verse 1. We should have a serving spirit as Christians towards one another. We should remember that all things were made in the beginning by God, and they were made for mankind by God. Genesis 9, 1 through 7, if you will. So God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be on every beast of the earth, on every bird of the air, on all that moves on the earth, and all the fish of the sea. They are given into your hands. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. I have given you all things, even as the green herbs. But you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is, its blood. Surely for your lifeblood I will demand a reckoning. From the hand of every beast I will require it, and from the hand of man. From the hand of every man's brother I will require the life of man. Whoever sheds man's blood by man, his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God he made man. As for you, be fruitful and multiply. Bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply it." And so, God made all these things for mankind. He made us in the image of God. All things were made good, simply put. It's not God's fault or intention, even lawfully, that those people chose to pervert that meat here in the New Testament in Corinth. Even simple things such as meat. Obviously, people can pervert anything. People can misuse anything that God created. People can misuse their cars. People can misuse their phones, as we often example according to how we live here in our society today with our technology. People can misuse anything. They can misuse even food today. But God never intended such things. It's just because men perverted such things. That's not God's fault. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 24 and 26. One question in simplicity asked is, whenever somebody's accused of murder, do you go over to this guy over here walking on the street and do you accuse him of the murder that guy committed over here in the courtroom? Obviously not. So I'm not going to accuse God of a murder whenever this guy over here committed it in the courtroom. I'm not going to accuse God of the words that this guy's saying. I'm going to look at the evidence of what God says. I'm going to look at what he says. I'm going to understand what he says. I'm going to follow what he says. Not what someone says about God. That's why it's so important, brethren, that you read the Scriptures for yourself. That's why it's so important you understand God's intention, God's context, God's meaning. 1 Corinthians 10, 24 through 26 there, though, if you continue with me, says there, "Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. Let whatever is sold in the meat market ask me no, or eat whatever is sold in the meat market, ask me no questions, for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness." Verse 24 obviously gives the understanding that a Christian cannot do the opposite of this verse, such as, "What I do is my own business. I don't care what effect my actions have on others." No, verse 24 says, "Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being." So we're caring about what's going to happen to this person's soul over here, this Christian's soul over here. I care what's going to happen to them. They're made in the image of God. They're valuable. They even choose to be a Christian. I care what happens to them. I want to preserve their soul for God's kingdom. I want to do that even as God wants to do that for them. In that day, in this day and time, under the pagan system of the Gentiles, the meat offered in sacrifice was given to the priest or to the poor. Now, if there was more than they needed for their own consumption, they often sold it to the markets for resale. Therefore, one never knew what he was buying at the meat market. So what's Paul's advice? What's the Holy Spirit's instruction? Is to eat such meat, not asking any questions. For what sake? For conscience sake. So, because again, the meat's good to you. It's good to anyone. Except for the people that they're perverting it by the things that they're doing with that meat. And they're obviously doing it in an improper manner. They're eating that meat in an improper manner by perverting it, sacrificing it to idols. Anybody can pervert things today, even God's Scripture. But again, the questions we ask. We don't ask in stores whenever we're buying groceries, was this made by improperly done, even slave labor? I don't ask, was this made to promote a life of dishonesty or crime? I don't ask, are the profits from this sale going to allow illegal activity? If I knew any of the above was the case, it might present problems to my conscience and my daily walk with Jesus Christ entirely. Now, this isn't to say we shouldn't be asking these questions. This isn't to say we shouldn't be asking questions about anything that is. We are talking about dealing with things and matters that appear to our eyes to be normal. There are occasions where it's too good to be true, however, and things look too suspicious, where you can't not, maybe in your conscience, ask questions, even in your own mind and two people. So tread carefully. Tread carefully because the devil may try to use anything against you to try to twist your mind away from Jesus Christ. And verses that we can look at as far as the devil's devices and 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11. Obviously, the church and Paul were well aware that the devil uses many devices to try to tempt them away from Jesus Christ. "Lest Satan," verse 11, "should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, one of the most commonly one used as far as the devil being a roaring lion, prowling around seeking whom he may devour. Tread carefully because he's trying to do these things. That doesn't mean the meat's tainted. That doesn't mean it's wrong, spiritually speaking. That means it's fine. It's good. It's good to eat. To you, it should be good to eat. But people, again, if they twist it for you by doing improper things with it, sometimes it might be better to just step away from that meat, or maybe even for someone else's sake. And we'll talk more about this as we go through it. Don't let God's creation be perverted for you. First of all, ultimately, do not let God's beautiful green creation around us today be perverted for you. Just because somebody goes out and worships that tree, or somebody goes out and says the world was created 9 million years ago by random chance, doesn't mean that this world was created 9 million years ago, or whatever, by random chance. It just means some guy said it, some guy did some lab whatever to try to prove that, and he's not proved it. Because proving is literally that you cannot prove it another way. You cannot show that it is another way. They can't prove that whatsoever. And so, don't let God's creation be perverted for you. Again, the design, the evidence is that God created everything. There's design in everything that surrounds us. There's design in our bodies. We must be honest with ourselves in all moments of life. If we are ourselves, or a younger Christian perhaps with us, cannot handle the sight of such a thing again, such as eating meat, that we know was sacrificed to idols and that they know, then it's better not to start such a conversation or question in the mind until one grows more in Christ by reading His Word more for themselves, even prior. Again, as we've been talking about, it might confuse one who offers to idols that they see a Christian eating such meat, it might turn them immediately away from Jesus Christ because they'll say in their mind, why do I see a Christian eating meat that's sacrificed to idols? And then what do? If they don't say anything to you, they walk away because this guy's a hypocrite is what they're thinking. And so don't let them think that. Don't let them catch you in any moment like that. If you know that such a thing is the case, just don't eat the meat. And that can be the case with anything again. Don't let yourself be in a situation where the world thinks that you're misbehaving yourself whenever you're actually not. Try to think of all these things, all these situations. It may not be the right time or place for such things. All these things are situational, and we must use the minds God gave us to determine what to do in these situations, even according to these instructions here. Now, again, as I say situational, I mean different things present themselves as we walk about through this life. That doesn't mean that the doctrine of Christ or behaviors do not apply, because they do. The instructions here as well apply. We're talking about things of the conscience, things that to you, again, according to God's creation, look good to eat, are good to eat, according to God's sight even. But thinking about your own sake and others' sake, even sometimes others' sake, sometimes you might just step away from whatever it is that you're about to do. Even a dinner that you might be about to go to, maybe because they're serving things they ought not, whatever it might be, step away from it. Ask what they're serving there. You don't want to get into those situations. And you don't want to be seen getting into those situations, whether it be by the world or whether it be by younger Christians who may not understand that those things wouldn't be sin for you as far as you're not even partaking of them, but maybe you're going to a dinner that some people there are drinking wine or whatever because they're of the world. People do that at baseball games. People do that anywhere. But you're not intending to do that. But somebody's seeing you go into that house where maybe they're a neighbor and they know that they're drinking those things. Well, they might get conflicted in their mind. And so you have to be always thinking about these things. Human beings have a conscience, a rational mind. They're made in the image of God. They can make these proper decisions in these moments as God has given us the ability to do. Therefore, in verse 25, Paul even further says in wisdom, eat whatever is sold in the meat market. So just go ahead and eat it. But on this clarification, don't even ask the question as to whether or not it was sacrificed to idols. So again, think about the old family video stores. Think about the old movie rental stores. What if those movies were stolen? What if those movies weren't actually properly bought by different groups? What if they were stolen? You wouldn't know that unless you asked. And they probably wouldn't even tell you the truth if you did ask, if they were stolen. And so you can't know all things as God knows all things, is the point. So what do we do to for our own conscience sake? If we know, maybe it's sometimes best to step away. If we don't know, maybe it's best, or it is best, as this context is saying, don't ask. Because to you, it's good. To your mind, to your heart, you are doing the right thing. You are living as Christ wants you to live. To other people who maybe stolen that movie, tainted that meat by sacrificing it to idols, whatever morally, you don't know that. Don't ask that. To your heart, you're fine. In God's sight, you're fine. Because it's good. All these things, all this creation is good for you. But if somebody, however, if you know those things, then sometimes it's better to step away. That's not to say, because I used the example of movies, certainly there are movies you shouldn't be watching. That was not to say that at all. But God's creation as meat here in this context is pure and right for us to eat anyways. Such a religious ritual having been done on it prior, it could violate or put our conscience or the conscience of another in danger, making us overly concerned or feeling we're in sin if perhaps we don't know any better yet, according to Scripture, even like this, and we've not learned. We've not yet learned. Even stronger Christians sometimes don't know all truth of Scripture. Sometimes they don't know all doctrine of Scripture, and they need to learn. There's nothing wrong with that. They just need to learn. The idea is to be careful, though. So just in case if they don't know that or we don't know that, we might have pure consciences always. So always be tread carefully to the things around you, the situations around you, and the things that are presented to you, that you might not be tempted to do improper things, so that we all get to heaven someday. That's the ultimate goal, brethren. Verse 26 is just a testament to Genesis chapter 1. There, for the earth is the Lord's in all its fullness, in that all that was made is of God's creation. It was made first good, and it's intentionally made even good right now. But men pervert things. Men even devise evil creations. If you read there in Romans chapter 1 on the list of sins, the middle part of that chapter, one of the things that you see there is inventors of evil things. Certainly men and women today can invent evil things. Invent things such as transgenderism. One of the main things that anybody here probably is thinking of already. They can invent evil things. They can invent evil theories that are meant to try to disprove God. They can't disprove God. The evidence shows that God is real. The evidence says that evolution is wrong. The evidence says that Jesus Christ did live, that He died on a cross because He was seen by witnesses. And the evidence says that all these books are pointing to Jesus Christ. That's the evidence. The evidence, however, of all these other things is random chance, only done in a lab and done with things that were made by God in the first place. You cannot make life with non-life. You can only make life with life, because that's what the evidence points to. The evidence does not point to non-life creating life. So I have to look at the evidence. What does the evidence say? Again, continuing on through here, not to go too far off. But 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 27, if you would with me, actually gives an example here, the Holy Spirit, a more clear instruction. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 27. Read it again with me if you would. If any of those who do not believe invite you to dinner, and you desire to go, eat whatever is set before you, asking no question, for conscience sake. But if anyone says to you, this is offered to idols, do not eat it for the sake of the one who told you, and for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord, is the Lord's, and all its fullness. Conscience, I say, not your own, but that of the other. For why is my liberty judged by another man's conscience? But if I partake with thanks, why am I evil spoken of for the food over which I give thanks? First of all, verse 27 again. Just eat the dinner and ask no questions about such things. For what sake? Your conscience, your own mind, your own heart, lest you have to get up and leave. Yes, you have to leave for your own sake, and maybe even for the sake of others, because you don't know if you should be participating, and it gives the wrong connotation as to the dinner or the meal making. You feel as you if you're doing something religiously improper. So, just don't ask anything. Your own mind is fine. That meat is good to your mind. Whatever it is, because God gave it to you to eat as a good thing. Again, in totality, don't let mankind pervert God's good creation for you. I'll give you an example here. Another one. Say you go to one of these dinners, and somebody puts in a little bit of alcohol in your drink, and you didn't know. You don't even know that they did that. You have no clue that they put alcohol in your drink. They spiked your drink. Is that your fault? It's going to be your fault if you keep drinking it and you fall into drunkenness. But set that drink down as soon as you know. Walk away from it. Leave. They shouldn't have done that. Leave for your conscience sake. I'm never drinking a drop of alcohol in my life. I hope no one here ever has. Certainly it's a vicious substance, but some here maybe have. You got to be careful. You got to tread carefully in life. Be very careful as to what people are giving you. Sometimes you can't know what they're giving you. You're not omniscient like God. I'm not omniscient. We're not all-knowing. Sometimes we can be deceived. And we got to be careful how people are seeing us, what they're seeing as far as what we're behaving like, what we're doing. And even for our own sake first, for our own conscience sake, make sure we don't violate it, that we might not feel guilty in our hearts for something. We've got to be careful. Again, remember, everything, though, is made good. It's just how man twists things and creates things that ought not to be created. Let me ask you a question. Can you immediately make those alcoholic substances right off the bat? Can you just pick those right off the plant right off the bat? Can you get meth right off of a plant right off the bat? No, you can't. And in some plants, maybe like poison ivy or something, they're really meant to defend themselves as plants. They're not meant to be consumed. And some other plants that people use, even like mushrooms or something, may be meant to defend themselves, like poison or other types of things. And people use those chemicals and those substances, and they mess with the periodic table, and they make these horribly terrible substances for your body that make your mind delusional. That's not God's fault. That's people messing with things that ought not to be messed with and put into your body that God gave you to take care of. And so we've got to be careful again. All this is to say, be careful and try to get everyone to heaven as best as possible with how we behave and how we do things in life and what we do in life. The same principle here as in verse 25. Just don't ask anything. Don't let people as well in totality pervert God's good creation for you. Suppose, as in verse 28, if someone tells you that the meat was offered to idols or some immoral thing, about whatever it is, don't eat it so that you might protect your own mind right off the bat and the mind of the one even who told you. Because they say, why are you eating this? It was offered to idols. Why are you doing that? And maybe it's a younger Christian who tells you, and then you go off and right on eat it. Why did you just eat that? I just told you it was meat offered to idols. And then you start a whole discussion, and maybe you might lead that Christian away. Maybe they'll never listen to you again. You got to be careful, brethren. For conscience sake means that the weak conscience of the brother or sister in Christ, or even the person of the world, must be voluntarily considered and respected. So under these circumstances, one would not eat the meat, as given the circumstance here. See how the Holy Spirit goes so far to protect a weak brother or sister in Jesus Christ. Not just the strong, not just Paul, but Paul, by the Holy Spirit, giving all these epistles, even instruction, on how to deal with certain situations, on how to take care of other brethren, how to take care of even the world and try to lead them to Jesus Christ. God cares about all of us. God loves mankind. He wants them to do the right thing. He wants them to follow His will, to live, not die in their sins, not die because they're doing things they ought not with their bodies that go against nature that God set up. God wants everyone to live. He wants everyone to survive, even past the judgment, and go to heaven and live forever there. Again, what's said in verse 26 is said here, again in the latter part of verse 28, the earth is the Lord in all its fullness, first to your conscience, Christian. Don't eat such things whenever you could cause doubts, confusion, disbelief, or leading away from Christ, thereby causing one to sin. Whoever it is in the situation. Now, if we think about here in verse 29, Paul is putting himself in the place of the strong brother. This is a little bit hard to pick through here, but in verse 29, he shows he is willing to minimize his personal liberty in Jesus Christ and God for the sake of the weak brother. Because considering one another in such a way here is also commanded in Christ for salvation's sake, obviously. Perhaps Paul is saying here, the weak brother or person will judge me and condemn my actions if I eat of the meat sacrificed to an idol. Allow you to look at the verse for yourself and listen to these words. So why would I want to allow that to happen if I know it's going to happen? It would be better for me to abstain from eating than to allow such a situation to arise. It's just Paul and the Holy Spirit reemphasizing the same thing that they just said. The Holy Spirit is simply intending that we shield each other in a deeper and even more private way so that we might all get to heaven. And then verse 30 presents ultimately that one might wish to say, I have the right by the grace of God to partake this. Your versions actually say different things there. And I'm getting a lot of help from Max Patterson as a commentator on this part of the lesson here. But evil spoken of means slandered or blasphemed here. Does it make sense to be scorned or evil spoken of just to maintain my liberty in Jesus Christ? No. Does it make sense to cause a problem or to allow a problem to arise just because I want to eat that meat anyway? Just because I know that meat's good for me to eat? No. You shouldn't create a problem or allow a problem to be created when you know something like that's going to happen. Think about other people. Think about what's going to happen before you do something. It's the same thing as thinking before you speak. Think about circumstances as they're coming and properly do things as Jesus Christ did. Is it worth it eating the meat? Obviously not. We have the right to eat any food by favor of God, but we must consider one another's conscience. And even younger Christians or people who don't understand yet. Whether we eat or drink, we must do all to the glory of God. That's the last part of this lesson. I'd ask you to please read 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 again with me. Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense either to Jews or to the Greeks or to the church of God, just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. The conclusion of this chapter is that they may be saved. You understand, this isn't physicality or ritualism. This is about saving people's souls. This is about considering the guy next to you that they might not get offended and this whole problem arise, even causing division in the church, causing problems even with somebody who's not yet in Jesus Christ, that they no longer listen to you. You might be the only Christian that they ever come in contact with. You've got to tread carefully, brethren, on how you deal with things. And all of us do. And whether we eat or drink anything again, though, do all to the glory of God. This is the final conclusion to this whole matter. And saving one soul, is the last part of verse 33. It was a situation, conclusion, where you could eat or drink, do it to the glory of God. Thank God, even receive it with thanksgiving, as the epistles instruct. If not, then abstain. And this is also for the glory of God, that everyone might have what? Equal hope at salvation. That everyone might have their consciences feeling good, pure, undefiled, and that they're walking right with Jesus Christ, as they know how. Give no offense in verse 32, as is what's said there. Some people take offense at anything anyone does, which sometimes cannot be helped. The point here is to not let someone take offense, but to give none offense. Don't let them blame you, and don't let them find a reason to create a problem. Don't give off ammunition when there's really nothing wrong with you. Make sure you're without valid blame. And then verse 33, so that everyone may be saved, very self-explanatory, we consider everyone and everything so that everyone might have equal opportunity in Jesus Christ. We must defend each other as Christians, brethren. We must fight Satan, fight evil, and make sure that we don't take part in it. Make sure we don't violate each other's consciences, our own conscience. We have to deal with things appropriately. Deal with things properly according to the law of Christ and the behaviors of Christ. We have to get away from evil. Don't let evil be able to take any of us, take our conscience. Just as God defends us from evil and Satan, let us defend each other. There's a lot of lessons that we can take out of this section of verses here. Certainly, I hope I've been able to cover all of them and you've been able to understand them well. But if there's anyone here today that has any need as far as the invitation, if you have a sin in your life, you need to get right with your God today. If you're not a Christian, there's only one way to become a Christian. It's very clear according to the New Testament law. You must believe that Jesus is the Christ, is the Son of the living God. You must be willing to repent of your sins, turn away from those sins, and live a righteous life with God and Jesus Christ. You must confess Jesus is the Christ before men. Romans 10, 9 through 10. That's something that's required. And of course, living that confession in a daily life after you're baptized. But you must be baptized, immersed into water, remissed of your sins, as in Acts 2, and added to the church. If you do that, you will have that home in heaven eternally. No one can snatch you out of the Father's hand, as Jesus said there in the book of John. No one. You will be saved forever in the hand of the Lord. We have water right here if you need to be baptized. If you have not yet been baptized, I encourage you to look upon the things of Jesus Christ and God help you as you search those things and as you learn what Jesus Christ wants you to do to be saved. It is not a faith-only doctrine that we believe in order to become a Christian. It is a believe, repent, confess, be baptized, and be added to the church and remain faithful unto death that you may receive that crown of life, that eternal home in heaven, as the book of Revelation concludes, is the Christian life. It's the end, is the consummation of the Christian life. If you're ready to become a Christian today, do not wait any longer. For today is the day of salvation, as also the epistles say. Do not wait. I urge you, I ask you, I beg you, please consider where you're going after this life. Are you saved? Are you a Christian? It doesn't matter if I baptize you or if any other brother in Christ here baptizes you. It's not who you're baptized by. It's that you're baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, as Matthew 28, 18 through 20 indicates. And you're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. You're in His body. That's what matters. It's not physicality, it's ritualism. It's all the law of Christ, behaviors of Jesus Christ, and that everything is done appropriately by those things. If you're ready to do any of those things today, if you're ready to learn more about Jesus Christ, please let us know. And please do receive the invitation if you have a sin in your life as well. Get that right with God. If you have any need, come to the front as we stand and sing to our God together.
Lowly bear his burden to him. upon your dear Lord rest. Ye that labor and are heavy laden, come and I will give you rest. Then his loving tender voice obeying, bear his yoke, his burden take. Find the yoke, his hand is on you laying, light and easy for his sake. Ye that labor and are heavy laden, lean upon your dear Lord's breast. Ye that labor and are heavy laden, come and I will give you rest.
You may be seated. 511.